because you're there when I awake, and then you give me the lights of day, because the children with you can play. I think I am, 'cause when I speak, you're always there. You even listen what I can tell.
Welcome to Wednesday Comics. To my left is AP18. In a moment here, I'm going to give them a call. I am starting the show a little bit early here, just to kind of give an update. Last week's podcast, we had a couple recording issues, and so it came out kind of late because I had to stitch three different kind of files together. But you know what? Enjoy it. You know, I talk about enjoying your time together, and we're going to enjoy that time together today. So once again, here we go, calling the Wednesday Comic Podcast co-host, and here they come.
Happy Hooters
to my left.
Hello.
Well,
holy, whoa!
I am recording already. So, to my left, AP18 himself, Alex. How you doing?
Hello, everybody. I'm doing well.
To my right, Jesus, you guys are loud. To my right, himself,
Gary. Turn us down, then. I'm doing good.
There we go. I started the show a little early. I was talking to the audience just to let them know last week's show kind of got broken up because the SD card was full. And, you know, it takes a while to get there. And so I kind of stitched three different segments of the show together, and it might sound a little weird. So I just let them know. But I cleared the card. We got a full card now. We got a good night. You know, it's fucking leap day today.
Alex, so wait, are you saying we were in the Phantom Zone a little bit last week?
Not that much. Because I listened to it, and you can literally, it's like a second, and then I start recording again. I just had to go in, and I deleted a file while we were doing it, and continued. So it doesn't, you wouldn't even notice probably if I didn't say anything, but I felt like I needed to say something. It is leap day today, as I talked about last week. Don't get me started. We can't be fucking wasting time. That's why.
Yeah, don't waste any time. Leap day is almost over.
Like that was almost like a sign last week that I was saying that I shouldn't have been wasting time and see what happened. So this week I decided I started it. The music played already, and I called you guys live on air. We're gonna get right into this. I think we're actually gonna start here because I assume that your brother's probably snoozing away. It is a little late for him, right? Past the 9 o'clock hour.
Yeah, he's not in tonight, unfortunately.
Right. So let's start with that book club, Gary. What is it? We have a book club, right?
We're going to go Wednesday Comics, League of Extraordinary Gentle People, proudly presents
Cosmic Detective by Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent with art by David Rubin. We actually stated last week we were going to break up this last part to 45-45, turns out. Just a couple more pages. It only went to 62, and then the rest is like extra stuff. Which is interesting, actually. I could have looked at that.
Well, but it only went to 174 altogether, anyway. So I don't know where those last 20 pages went.
Damn,
it was all that. It was all that promo shit.
Oh, I suppose.
Like you're all right. The concept drawings and all that.
That's what I meant. I mean, like, yeah, all the concept drawings and stuff like that. So that was the last couple pages there. So we're just going to talk about the last from 100 on. So if you were reading this and you thought it was only 45, you know, pause, come back, read the last 20, and come back to us here. They'll go fast. This last 100, not 100, but the past 100 went really fast, I feel like. So, like, I couldn't stop myself. And then by the time I realized that I was still reading, I looked and I was like, oh, it's over. So.
Yep.
I had the same problem. Even though I knew that we only had, like, 12 extra pages to read,
right.
I thought, man, I still only have 12 left to go. And I'm already, like, 2 pages away from being done.
Right.
Oh, okay. Cool.
That end comes pretty fast. And I just wanted to get you guys' first thoughts on what you thought about that ending.
What
a sellout.
A sellout is what you said?
Yeah.
I'm kind of in the same boat. I feel a little misled. I get what they were trying to do. Like, I get, fuck yeah, bring on the ambiguous ending and get all kinds of crazy on me. But I don't like detective stories like that. And I feel like, you know, it wasn't rewarding the reader for reading the book, personally. Because, like, I got to the end and I was like, yeah, you're right. I didn't see that coming. So, because who would ever fucking guess that you'd basically see the new gods from Jack Kirby in the end?
And I think last week I even stated that if it comes out of left field and doesn't feel earned, then we're going to feel kind of slighted. And I do feel like the last, I guess, how many pages, Alex? You said 74?
Yeah.
They do feel kind of rushed. Like, it feels like the first 100 kind of take a while to get to the point. And then the last 74, even though we say 74, like, if you read this last 74, you realize that most of it is the art telling the story, which is great. The art's fantastic last for 74.
Right.
I actually wish I could get this in print, because a lot of them were two-page spreads and stuff like that, so it's kind of hard to read on digital. But it really took the beginning 100 pages has barely any story, and it kind of like ramps up to like getting to the point, and then the last 74 is like, here's everything else now. Like, it talks about the there's two scenes in which a character touches another character and shows them exposition rather than finding a different way to do it. So yeah, I kind of have to agree. Like, I feel like the first 100, I felt like we're solid, and it felt like it was going somewhere. It feels like if this was maybe, you know, 300 pages, I think we would have got there. But with the last 74 just being kind of wrap up, it felt like.
Yeah, and the apple bit. We've been on to the apple since we started reading this thing. And I'm like, you can't even give us a little payoff on that. Like, I know they show his picture at the end and he's holding the apple. So basically when he decided to become their detective is basically when his mind got rewiped or whatever the fuck, right, from the beginning.
Last time, yeah.
And it's just, yeah. And it's just like, okay, sure. Like, I don't know. I thought like it could have been a way better like even giving us the ambiguous like new gods stuff, like that I'm okay with. Like, being unable to understand what this alien race is like wanting to do, except use like the entire Earth as like a fuel station, that's fine. But like trying to make this like a sly detective story and just not like connecting any dots by the end is just like lazy.
Well, I think that's what I was thinking too, is that we had talked and theorized, which was the problem at hand, is that you should never talk about anything anymore because you're going to be let down. And that's how I feel. We talked about the apple. We talked about him being either the bandaged guy, or that we were going to do this loop around of stuff. I kept waiting for something like that to show up, or him to even eat the damn apple again, right, as he's walking up and having thrown it on the ground or something.
And I mean, the story makes it seem like, obviously, you know, they're using them for fuel, as you stated, Garrett, and it kind of makes it seem like he didn't even say a couple times at the end, like, you don't matter and stuff like this. And it really does feel like for the last 74 pages, it doesn't really, the main character really doesn't matter anymore. And it was more about telling that story. And then by the end, it's just like, he does make a good choice to go back with his family, and then we get Abigail stepping up to be the next cosmic detective. But also it's kind of like, okay, well, what did I get out of this? Like, him going back to doing that didn't feel like there was much conclusion to it. It just felt like it ended.
Yeah. It basically is like a never ending story of detectives trying to figure out about these races, and then they find out about the race, and then the alien race basically works with this other entity to erase minds and start all over. And like, it doesn't make any sense. Like,
which
it's like the Wayland Corporation and Alien, like finally getting an alien and being like, we're actually going to set you back out into space because we like the hunt. You know, like,
yeah,
that's what it's like. It's like, what the hell? Well, you got alien. So what now?
Think about this too. It's like we always stated before that Jeff Lemire was the king of endings. Like, he knew how to end a book. And it feels like this one doesn't really feel like any kind of satisfying conclusion, because like there are still questions, and I don't know whether or not this is something they see as an ongoing kind of like making standalone things. I don't think this first one kind of merits. I mean, there is more to dig around here, but I don't think you set up the first one here to be intriguing enough for me to dive in a second time. But there are
things. And when did this come out?
Last year.
Oh God. Yeah. I guess it could only get better if they made a sequel, but I'm surprised by that. I thought this was like early Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent.
No, it was last year. And David Rubin. Wow. I feel like the art was fantastic throughout. That one I give you a props
for. Art was great.
David Rubin's art from beginning to end, I never felt like it lacked any. And there are moments when it gets like kind of super weird with the gods, and also with the powers that are given to like Humphreys and who's the main character's name?
Cole, I don't remember.
We really don't say so, but whenever they get their kind of their powers, because the gods are just messing with them and treat them like toys, all that kind of art and the craziness of that was, I think, done well. And it kind of, like, as you said, Garrett, like a Jack Kirby-ish kind of when they go to that other dimension, I'll say, whatever the hell it is. But like,
dude, it should have been a silent issue as soon as he woke up in the lab, like with the anatomy. It should have been silent the rest of the way. Like axe that Angelica shit, like becoming the next cosmic detective, but literally do everything to him, like cuddling with his family on the bed, and that bad boy. That would be a good ending. Just like 40 pages of silence from when he discovers the alien race to the end. And I would have been like, that's beautiful.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
Cut out all the weirdo mumbo jumbo stuff.
And then you're trying to explain this bullshit that doesn't make any sense. And I think that's what all three of us hate that. We hate when you explain shit that doesn't need to be explained.
Right.
Like, because I, you know, when they did the dream sequence about the new gods, I was like, okay, it's stuff we can't comprehend. I get it. And then they tried to explain it to us. And I was like, all right, well, now you just ruined what I didn't need explained, because you explained it.
which is funny, because it's like they try to make it subtle, but also on the nose at the same time. So like when you think about this shadow government that is like knowing about these gods, but also keeping them kind of at bay by abiding by what they want. And then they talk about they've been trying to kill them for a while and they almost are unsuccessful. So it's like, also, it's like, okay, so are you with these guys? Or are you also against these guys, or both at the same time? But even still, like the shadow organization, like he doesn't even say, he goes, oh, so you guys knew about this whole time? And it's like, yeah, no shit. Like, I could have told you that from the beginning. These guys were fucking shady. Like,
have you seen their faces?
Yeah. So it's like, and then when they asked him to join them, it's like, for what though? What the fuck do you guys do? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah, like what? Aren't I already under you? Like what? Yeah. What? Why am I in your detective? Because
like, we never even learned why they bring him in, and like he goes through that secret door and all that shit to go to them, and like, okay, so I guess he's part of the secret organization. But then they say you could be part of us. I don't. It just seemed like that it would.
I'm guessing they can't die, and are the entity that lives on with these gods. Because when he goes back to being a human and living his life with his family, at the end of the day, they're all going to die or dry up or become fuel or whatever it's going to end up being.
Right.
But I'm guessing those shady creeps don't ever die.
I don't know. I would give this total thing, I know I don't usually rate it, but since it was a graphic novel, I'd give it like a 6 out of 10, but art 10 out of 10. Because like I thought David Rubin did amazing. But I'm just in shock that this was basically veteran Matt Kent and Jeff Lemire. So I'm kind of in shock right now.
I would say 2/3 was a solid 8. This last one did drop it to a 6. The art was phenomenal all the way through.
I'll agree. I mean, and it kind of pains me to say that, because it like has these three kind of great people in this book. And to say this, especially about a Jeff Lemire book, like... And we like Matt Kent too. I mean, we talked to Department H, and I feel like that ended on a good note too.
Yeah, that was a good ending.
But I don't know. It was very abstract at the end. I needed a little bit of something solid to latch onto, and I didn't think I got that. So.
And it's like, you know, we see detective, we're thinking mystery, we're thinking like maybe it doesn't need to be like laid out, but I'm like, enough breadcrumbs for us to be like, ah, we're fucking figuring this out, instead of like, here's the entire paint swab, good luck. You know, that's what I felt like. I was like, all right, so nothing connects, but the guy bit an apple. Cool. Right. Apples are good. The end.
So there you go. I mean, at least I would have hated, I think I would have hated this book more if we stopped at that 45 and then went next week thinking there's another 45 and it was only 20 and it just ended. I think we all would have been fucking so mad.
Yeah, I would agree.
So I think I'm glad that I didn't stop reading it. And I got to the end and was like, oh, you should just read it, because there's no point in keeping those 20 pages for next week. So so there's that book. And Alex is our next in our rotation. Alex, what did you select?
So I chose a book that I know Marvin has read in the past. I think it's probably been at least a couple of years. I don't know if you have read it, Garrett, or not. You probably have. You were on that vein of Daredevil, but I have not read the first 6. So I did go with Here Comes Daredevil, 1 through 6, volume 1. Writer Mark Waid, Pencils by Paulo Rivera, and then issues four through six has Marcos Martin on it. And
Well, yeah. Actually, I haven't read that. I've only read volume two, Mark Waid and Chris Samnee. So I never read the volume one by Mark Waid.
I was going to say that it's funny because that first volume has those two artists, and then it goes to Samnee and then kind of stays there with Samnee. So,
Speaking of Samnee, and I know I already prefaced this to you guys in our chats, Firepower 30, we have to talk about it. So when you guys read Firepower 30, we need to talk about it.
If I get my box this weekend, I will let you know. I haven't gotten a shipping address thing yet, so I'll let you know.
Yeah.
It's probably being held up, Alex, in this no snow weather, and all packages are down. You know, you got to have consistent weather for the packages to come.
Bullshit. Yeah. You know what? Christmas time, Santa brings the snow or no snow. What's up with this? USPS can't deliver my boxes?
Right. So, there's the book club, and we'll read the Daredevil. I'm excited to get back into that because I actually was about to read the Ed Brubaker run again. Maybe I'll see, a little this, a little that, a little Mark Waid, a little Ed Brubaker, and Mark Waid's run was more of a happier Daredevil than he has been in the past because he's had a pretty shitty life. Bad shit happens to him. But if you read far enough, something does happen. It goes back to that. So, next up here on the docket, we kind of mentioned this, I think maybe hashtag SOS1 mentioned it a few weeks ago, but we had no kind of solid information. So report here, Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy will reunite one more time for a DC movie animated film.
What?
Mark Hamill will return as Joker in Justice League Crisis on Infinite Earth Part 3. A source privy to the film's production confirms that Hamill's casting opposite the late Kevin Conroy, who will posthumously return as the voice of Batman. So I guess he recorded that prior to his passing because it was a part three and they knew they were going to do it already.
Damn, I've heard those have been really good. So I need to check out, I think the first one's on HBO Max, maybe.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Shit.
Speaking of Kevin Conroy, I just bought Injustice 2. The game, the Legendary Edition. Partially, just so I can hear his voice in Batman one more time.
You got to say that again because Marvin was cracking skulls. You did what with Kevin Conroy?
I bought Injustice 2, the Legendary Edition.
Oh, nice. What was happening. Marvin was just doing the sound effect of Kevin Conroy Batman destroying somebody.
Beating the shit
down the stairs.
That was me drinking my drink. There's ice in it.
You suck that shit like a vacuum, man.
It's ice. Okay.
Look, Garrett, that was the best call I've ever heard. That was Marvin busting some skulls.
And Alex knows too, they busted my skull first. And then I gave it. Can't dodge in that game. You know, I've tried to replay, like I played Arkham Asylum back when it first came out, and then I've tried to move on numerous times, and that's just a game I can't get into. I don't know why, because I don't like that.
Really?
I don't like the camera, how it's placed behind him. I don't like how he runs.
I don't. The story, it's by Paul Dini, the voice acting. Ugh.
You know what? Maybe I'll have my son play it, and I'll just watch him play it. Because I guarantee you, he probably would be really into it.
Or just start with Arkham City. If you don't like Arkham Asylum, I will agree. Arkham Asylum.
No, that's what I'm saying.
One.
I'm saying that I've played Arkham Asylum, so I've tried to get into City.
Oh.
And I can't get into it.
Oh yeah, no, there's something wrong with you for sure.
As the City is Asylum outside of the final fight is perfection.
Yeah.
Agreed. Arkham City, literally, that game is. I mean. Again, the final fight, it's not the best, but it is very good. But the way you feel like Batman, all the shit you can do. I mean, I spend more time in that game flying from place to place just to fight everybody.
And I'm having an itch to play Arkham Origins and Arkham Knight because I also haven't played enough I played City and Asylum like 8 times each. But
I think, okay, so admittedly, Knight is the one I've played the least.
Yeah.
I think Knight is the hardest for me to stay interested in.
I would agree.
There's so much stuff to do. There's so many new things they added for the fighting that I don't appreciate, I don't want, and I don't like the Batmobile.
See, I love the Batmobile, but I don't like it being a tank.
Agreed.
I hate that there's tank missions that you have to do.
I don't want to have to use the car. I want it to be that's the upper hand I can use. If I need to use it, great. But only one.
The fact you can change it, though, to like other Batmobiles, that's pretty good.
And I'll admit that is very cool.
But
Origins, that's a good one. That was.
It is. I remember just like how that game starts, where he's basically just telling off Alfred. He's like, Alfred, just make sure my fucking sandwich is ready when I get back, okay? Yeah. Like, I'm about to go.
I wish they'd do a remaster for it, or had they done a remastered for it?
They have not. But I think Marvin said you can get it on like PlayStation's, whatever they're like.
Plus, yeah,
streaming is the plus, yeah. Mm. But I think that would be a cool one to have a remake of. But you know, I was hoping that, like, you know, because like that's WB Studios Montreal, and they're the ones. No, they didn't do Suicide Squad. That was Rocksteady. So
yeah, but they did Gotham Knights.
Oh, they did Gotham Knights. That's right. And Gotham Knights, I still recommend playing it. Like, it was still fun. It's just different. And it's probably only $15 now. So
there you speaking go. Of DC, another thing I found here, and I thought it might be fun to go through this and get you guys' take on it, and then see what this what CBR picks. CBR put out this 15 matchups between Marvel and DC, and who would win.
Mm.
So I'm going to tell you guys the matchup. You guys can discuss it. I want you two to discuss it. And maybe you both agree, maybe you both disagree, and then I'll let you know. I'll be CBR and let you know why they picked their choice.
So there's a winner that they have decided.
They did. They do have somebody listed as most likely to win, and then they give a reason why.
Okay.
The first one here we have is Gamora versus Martian Manhunter.
Ooh, I would go. God, you know what?
I'm gonna go Martian Manhunter.
Really? See, I'm gonna go Gamora. Like. I feel like she has like more athletic ability than Martian Manhunter. Where yes, Martian Manhunter can fly and he has like psychic abilities, but Gamora is pretty strong willed and like knows how to handle a sword. So I mean, she would just slice that Martian up into cut celery, you know. Like,
but I think Martian Manhunter would turn into someone that would affect her personally. I guess it depends if it's MCU Gamora. Or if it's like the first time you actually meet Gamora in the comic books, where she really is a badass motherfucker kicking everybody. She was busting.
She's badass in both.
Sure.
Come on.
I'm gonna go Martian. I'm gonna go Manhunter.
I can't agree. I feel like she would just like throw a little like Molotov next to his feet, and he'd start crying and go in the fetal position. So like, she doesn't have that hindrance. She doesn't have like a huge fear that, except Thanos, I guess. But if Martian Manhunter turned into Thanos, then she would just get angrier and kill him harder than she was going to kill him before.
I kill you harder.
Yeah.
They have most likely to win, Martian Manhunter.
Wow.
Both Gamora and Martian Manhunter have a lot of things in common. Not only do they come from an all but extinct race, but they both have their place in their heart for humanity and found a place alongside powerful teams as a protector of their galaxy. While Martian Manhunter may work for the police force, Gamora has been known to evade it. Both have significant abilities that assist them in battle. Gamora isn't known as the most dangerous woman in the galaxy for nothing, but Martian Manhunter's telepathic gifts and ability to shapeshift certainly give him the edge in this battle.
They don't mention that they're both green. Yeah, I mean, they're the only green characters in each of their universes, basically. So, except Hulk, you know. But
next matchup, we have Black Widow and Black Canary.
Oh man, God, I would love to see that fight. That's hard. I'm gonna go Canary. Like, I think Widow is obviously Master Assassin. But Canary Cry, I mean, one time, it's over.
And plus, how can we forget, Garrett, you forget your famous Green Arrow number 7?
I think, yeah. I mean, Otto Schmidt, baby. I just...
I'm going to go... You're welcome, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm going to spend... Hang on. I distracted myself doing that.
For the audience at home.
Well, thank you, Alex.
Alex just texted our group a picture of Black Canary. That's why I mentioned that. But Alex, you gonna go Black Canary or Black Widow?
I don't. That's a tough one. I mean, I'm just
Canary Cry, dude.
Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking too. Is probably would have to say Canary. I think she's got the meta power over her, and with no one doing any pre-rec work on each other, it's literally just we're meeting up to fight. I'm gonna go Black Canary.
If she didn't have her Canary Cry, I would give it to Black Widow. But Canary Cry takes over.
I don't know. She's a master fighter too, though. She's one of the best in the DC world, so she would be holding her own.
They did indeed pick Black Canary, and nice. I'll just give you this last paragraph—not paragraph, but this last sentence here, because I think it wraps up. Black Widow's electric shock stingers are a powerful weapon, but they can't compete against Black Canary's devastating sonic Canary Cry. So I think that's it, where they went to, Garrett.
Yeah.
Ant-Man versus the Atom.
Ant-Man.
God, see, that's another hard one. Because they can both get small, they can both get big. And it depends on which Ant-Man we're talking here. Did he give which character is Ant-Man?
Oh, yes, it is Hank.
Oh, if it's Hank? Then I'll go Ant-Man. I'll go Ant-Man if it's Hank Pym. If it was Scott Lang or any of the other ones, I'd be like, nope, Adam, 100%.
They do say Ant-Man. They do say because they both kind of have the same ability, but Ant-Man has the ability to communicate with the ants, and those extra abilities give him an edge. Spider-Man versus Dr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan would win.
I'm gonna go Dr. Manhattan.
I mean, you know,
he kills everybody else. Oh.
What are you waiting for? Do it. Dr. Manhattan. I mean, it's gotta be. There's no way Spider-Man.
You know what I was thinking about too, Garrett? Mentioning Dr. Manhattan. How good that HBO Watchmen series was.
I know. I don't need them to do a sequel, but I kind of wish they would. But the first, it was amazing. It was incredible.
I wouldn't mind if they don't do anything with those main characters, but do something in that world. Because it's just like, especially in that season when it was like, oh, they're all gone, or like, and it was kind of about other characters at first. Like, that was cool. Like, that guy who dressed up, and like, he was like lubed up, remember?
He would slide through the gutter.
Yeah. Well, anyways, they do pick Dr. Manhattan because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
While it's easy to see that Dr. Manhattan is more powerful, it's important to note how resilient Peter Parker can be. Not when he fucking is.
Not when he gets exploded.
Yeah.
Yeah. When Dr. Manhattan can literally like turn him into atomized dust, it's Dr. Manhattan.
It does say, however, there aren't many characters who can take on Dr. Manhattan, and he'll win this battle without breaking a sweat. So I guess they just wanted to give one to, you know. They wanted to have one to be so evenly matched. So here's the next one, though. Green Lantern or Captain America? Hal Jordan and Steve Rogers.
I'm going to go Green Lantern.
Yeah, I got to go Green Lantern, too. I know, like, Cap, obviously, he's got super strength. But, I mean, Green Lantern could put him in a little green canister and kick him out into space and let go. You know,
take him up to space, drop him in there. Dead. Yeah. You won't come back from that icicle.
Yeah. You'd be like, you're a star in the sky now, Cap. So
they didn't indeed pick the Green Lantern. They're both chosen for their strength of character. Steve was selected because he's a good man. Jordan earned it for being able to overcome great fear. Their powers, I mean. Captain America has superior moral and leadership abilities, I would argue. But Green Lantern can create anything from his mind, literally. Even Cap's shield can't defend against the most powerful members of the Green Lantern Corps. Speaking of Green Lantern, though, Atrocitus versus the Hulk.
Again, I'm going to go Atrocitus because of the ability to wield a lantern ring. Like, Hulk's got brute, incredible strength, hard to defeat, but put that guy in a canister, throw him into space. If he can't touch the ground, what can he do?
Well, if you can't breathe, you're dead. So
he'll do the little high five thing where he high fives in front of himself to get some momentum to get somewhere eventually. But I'm like, I don't know. I feel like Atrocitus would beat him.
Yep, I agree. Atrocitus.
They actually picked the Hulk.
They better have a damn good reason.
Hey, let me read the whole thing to make sure I don't leave anything out. The Hulk and Atrocitus are two berserkers who have made a name for themselves over the years in each respective universe. Bruce Banner turns into the Hulk when he gets angry, and his strength can increase beyond limits the madder he gets. Atrocitus is the leader of the Red Lanterns, a group that is fueled by rage that consumes them. Atrocitus could try to burn the Hulk and restrain him with red energy constructs, but it would be to no avail. The Hulk's strength would just keep increasing as he got angrier until he could break free. Atrocitus wouldn't have the means to put the Hulk down for good, whereas the Hulk can only needs to break Atrocitus' concentration long enough to rip his ring off his hand.
Nope. I would say the same thing we've already said. He's going to put, even if he lashes him up and throws him into space, he can kick him into the sun. He'll be dead there.
Yeah, no. Right. I feel like CBR was very narrow-minded in their thought process. Because, like,
we got paid by Marvel for this one.
Yeah, they're like, hey, come on, give us one.
The madder he gets, the stronger he gets, but they're fueled by that rage. So wouldn't they get stronger too?
His construct would get stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And so it would just be like, all right, cool. Guess Hulk can't break out of this bad boy.
You know what? I agree with you guys. Jean Grey and Raven.
Jean Grey. Whoa.
Can Jean become Phoenix in this, or is she stuck just being Jean Grey?
That's a good call, because I'm taking it back, because if that... I'm guessing it's Jean Grey without the Phoenix Force.
I'm going to go Raven. I think Raven can feed off her empathy or how she's feeling.
I'll say this. It does bring up the Phoenix Force as one of her powers. So,
well, again, another nearsighted viewpoint from CBR, but if Phoenix Force is involved, of course, Jean Grey would win. But I would feel like Jean Grey is not the Phoenix Force. That just happened to take over her body.
Right. That's what I was about to say. I don't think it is her, right? It's that, like it's an entity within herself.
Right. So if it's Jean Grey on her own, then Raven all the way. If it's Jean Grey with the Phoenix Force, well, no shit, the Phoenix Force will win anything. So
they picked Jean Grey, as I just
said. Yeah, fucking narrow-sighted bastards.
Regardless of Trigon's aid, Raven would lose to Jean Grey. When empowered by Trigon, Raven becomes a threat to Earth, but Jean hosting the Phoenix Force, she becomes a threat to the entire universe.
What a fucking cheat answer. Okay, well, so the Hulk with Darkseid's Omega Beams will beat another Hulk that doesn't have Darkseid's Antimatter Beams. Cool. You got me. Got it. Cool. Stupid.
Quicksilver and the Flash. Quicksilver and the Flash.
Flash.
The Flash, 100%.
Yeah. Unfortunately for Pedro, all that pales in comparison to Allen's enhanced speed. The Flash has connection to the Speed Force, which allows him to draw on near limitless energy, become one of the fastest characters in the universe.
And turn back time.
Quicksilver has the top speed, and it ranks well under Flash's max, even without a potential speed force boost. So they pick the Flash also.
Perfect.
Thor versus Wonder Woman.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Wonder Woman.
See, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to go Thor.
I think one of Wonder Woman's weaknesses is sharp objects, not blunt hammers. Yes, he has electrical powers, but she too has fought just as many gods as he has. It's got to be Wonder Woman.
Nah, I feel like there's something about, I mean, Thor's got hammer and lightning, where Wonder Woman only got sword and shield and rope.
And whip, bro. Whip. And he is such a horn dog, he'd probably be distracted fighting her anyway.
But he's got the Bifrost too, my dude.
They chose Thor. Thor and Diana are impossibly strong. They have taken on powerful characters like the Hulk or Superman over the years. However, while Wonder Woman has access to some magic and her own mystic weapons, Thor's command of the storm and his enchanted hammer, Mjolnir, gives him the edge in the battle of myths.
And like, think about Molnar doing like just a trip around the universe and coming to smack Wonder Woman in the face. Like, she's not coming back from that. He's used that move before, so she ain't coming back from that.
Hawkeye or Green Arrow?
Hawkeye. He's got adamantium arrowheads. Those cut through anything that Oliver Queen has.
And I feel like his senses are more honed because of his like hearing disability. Like that he's trained so hard and focused with what senses he can use that he's like superhuman.
They chose Hawkeye.
Nice.
Green Arrow's trick weapons include Net Arrow, Scatter Arrows, and his signature boxing glove. These are fan favorites, but the edge still has to be go to Hawkeye. Hawkeye's arrows have been further enhanced with advanced technology and strengthened with antimantium and vibranium. Hawkeye also never really misses, which could challenge DC's Emerald Archer. Yeah. Hank Pym or Rami the Guardian from Green Lantern?
Who?
He's one of the, like, there's like two Green Lantern, like the Guardians, the original Guardians. And there's two of them that kind of go against the rest of them and help out Hal and them. You know what? We'll skip that fucking one.
I just said that one. Yeah, that makes sense.
Black Panther or Aquaman?
Black Panther. Okay, hold on. Hold on. I mean,
I'm going to go Aquaman.
Yeah, I'm going to go Aquaman. I take it back. Black Panther. Okay, if it was no powers and it was fighting ability, Black Panther all the way. But the fact that Aquaman can get a whale to, like, fucking tail spin him in the water. Ow.
Well, even Aquaman's animal telepathy is strong enough to cause migraines in humans if not explode their head. So
They did pick indeed Mr. Aquaman himself, and but this first sentence I think is you're gonna disagree with, even though they did pick your choice. In a one-on-one fight, Black Panther can't match Aquaman's strength.
False.
The King of Atlantis has lifted city streets with his raw strength and matched powerful characters like Superman and Martian Manhunter. Aquaman's also insanely fast. One time, he even caught the Flash off guard. Black Panther has strength, skill, tech, and smarts, but he would eventually fall to Aquaman's might.
Do not agree.
No, so disagreement with Aquaman picking up Flash, but Flash also doesn't seem like he's the most unpickable person. Batman tripped him up, and he's just a dude.
Also, they didn't mention anything about Aquaman's powers, like you guys. That's what you thought gave him the edge, and they didn't even mention him.
Yeah, they're just like, he's got super strength. I'm like, well, yes.
But have you ever had a, he has the strength of a great squid, could come up and it fucking rip out for your legs.
Yeah, but Black Panther could just like rip those tentacles right off the squid.
And then eat them as calamari.
Not according to this article. I guess he's weak, so can't do it.
Well, way to go, CBR.
Iron Man and Batman.
Batman.
Iron Man.
What?
Yeah. Iron Man's tech is way over what Bruce could ever do. And if you get into the nano suits that Iron Man would have, it would take out Bruce.
Dude, by the time Iron Man talks to Jarvis, Batman's already clicked a button on his gauntlet to bring the Batwing and just rain fire.
No, I'm going to stick with Iron Man.
And what about the Apocalypse suit? Like, hello?
He's got the Hulk Buster.
Well, he's literally got the Batman Buster. He's got the Batman when James Gordon was Batman.
Oh, yeah. We saw how Gordon did with that suit that kept shutting off on him.
He wasn't the right pilot.
No.
Now I'm talking about the big one, like the big one from Metal.
Oh, that. Jeez. Nope, Iron Man.
Batman.
CBR says Iron Man.
Stupid.
Wealthy playboy Bruce Wayne trained his body to peak physicality before he embarked on a mission as Batman. Rich industrialist Tony Stark created his Iron Man armor to save his life and help others as a member of the Avengers. Both heroes have created advanced technology to help in their fight against crime, though Stark is definitely a better inventor than the Dark Knight. Tony Stark's most powerful Iron Man armors outclass most of Batman's inventions. Batman has created his own suits, but Iron Man has miniaturized enough weaponry inside his armor to take out Batman's entire Batcave. While the fight would be over quickly if it was just Stark versus Wayne, or Batman had enough prep time, Iron Man's armor gives him the edge.
Disagree. Disagree. Batman has a contingency for Cyborg, and you're telling me he can't take on Iron Man?
Nope. Doctor Strange versus Satana.
Ooh.
I would say Strange.
Yeah, I'd give to Strange because he doesn't have to say words backwards, and who can remember that shit?
She can, apparently. She's good at it.
Yeah. They did indeed choose Doc Strange. It's a sorcerer who uses hand gestures and memorizes spells to cast magic as Marvel's Sorcerer Supreme. Zatanna is a gifted Homaiji who carried on her father's legacy as a hero who specialized in backwards spoken magic. She's one of DC's most powerful magic users and has access to nearly limitless powers, though she doesn't have much experience, as Doctor Strange is Marvel's Sorcerer Supreme and had earned that title of his realm's mystical protector. He's the master of mystical arts who fights demonic entities and evil gods on a daily basis. Satana's innate magical ability is stronger than Doctor Strange's own power, though he is more trained and has access to more powerful artifacts and weapons that give him the edge. And finally, Captain Marvel versus Superman.
Superman.
What do you say?
Superman.
Superman.
Superman. They pick Captain Marvel.
Bullshit.
Just kidding. God. I'm just kidding. They pick Superman.
Yeah, it's like bullshit. She doesn't even have magic. So.
Match between Captain Marvel and Superman would be incredibly intense and potentially damaging to each universe. Kal-El is a Kryptonian who gained incredible powers on Earth as Superman. Carol Danvers is a Kree/human hybrid with incredible powers who defends the universe as Captain Marvel. They both don't know the meaning of the word surrender. One of the perks of being Captain Marvel is incredible strength and ability to absorb and rechannel energy. However, Superman's wealth of powers and incredible strength still give him the edge in this battle.
I think even if she could redirect that amount of punch he would give her, you would probably explode before she could ever redirect it back again.
Also on that one, I have some Superman movie news.
What's
that? They changed the title from Superman Legacy to Superman.
Mm-hmm. Which, Garrett, isn't that the first Superman movie?
Yeah,
one is called Superman the Movie. So, I mean, it's the first time the one's just called Superman.
Yeah. Well, I'm cool with it. I like it.
I did actually see that before we rolled in here, and I actually forgot about it instantly. Not that it was, you know, something to forget. I didn't mean it in that way, but I just mean, like, I just for some reason didn't remember that to bring it up. But I did see his post saying that when he was done writing the script, he was like, this is Superman Legacy. This is Superman. So he changed the title. And his Instagram has a picture of the crest in snow. And looks pretty good. Looks pretty good.
Well, it's going to be the Kingdom Come Superman symbol, right? Isn't that what they're kind of alluding to?
I don't think so. The one he had was just a regular S.
It's on his Instagram?
Yeah.
I'm going right now. I'm not fucking wrong. That's
on Facebook.
What?
While you're looking that up here, brought to you by RainbowComicsAndCards.com. That's brought to you by RainbowComicsAndCards.com. You know, Marvel DC did that way back in the day. So, maybe, you know, try and find that there and try to read that collection. Do they still sell that? I wonder if they do still sell that. I think they can't sell that anymore. Who knows, though? RainbowComicsAndCards.com, they would know. So go visit them in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or Lincoln, Nebraska, or anytime, anywhere at RainbowComicsAndCards.com.
That's pretty close to the Kingdom Come Superman symbol, but it's a little different.
It's a little different.
I'll give it that.
It's a nice mix. So maybe
it's enough that I like that it's still the Superman S.
Right. Now I'm excited to see whatever comes out of that. Any more news from that? I don't think I'm going to go super. You know, we've learned over the years, maybe stay a little bit away from it. Don't read everything.
Yeah.
But I think, like, at least the.
Well, now that we know that 30 characters are going to be in it, we better stay back.
There's going to be 30 different reveals, so yeah, better watch out for that. RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. That's the website you go here to learn about the Avatar of the Green. So go to RootsOfTheSwampThing.com. And while it kind of seems like this one, this episode flew by, this is actually right now only 3 minutes shorter than last week's episode. And last week seemed like it took a long time. You know what? Maybe we did record for a long time and I didn't notice. No, we didn't. What else here? Oh, find us on X, formerly known as Twitter. That's at the AP Keaton, at Garot 2188, and at Wednesday Comics. oh, you can find me on Blue Sky at NY Rocks if you want to find me on Blue Sky. And let's see what else. WednesdayComics.com. Go there, subscribe to the show, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anything else you use around the world. We're worldwide, baby. And like we said at the beginning of the show, time is of the essence, but guess what? Also, we're thinking globally, but acting locally. So that's why we think about our brothers and sisters across the world here and our friends from any place. And we think locally also with Mr. Roots of the Swamp.com and Rainbow Comics and Cards.com. So that's the way we live in 2024, Alex and Garrett, you know. We live in the moment and all around. Everywhere. Everything all at once. So
I saw what you were going to do there. I saw it.
Damn. God damn. I just also want to make a declare of a statement that it's really enjoyable to go back and read comics when like the whole thing is done. You can just keep going and you can binge it. So I guess I see why people do that. I used to make fun of those people, so I just want to say I apologize to all those people out there who, you know, used to like to binge stuff. I'd be like, yeah, don't you like the conversation? But as we learn with the Cosmic Detective, sometimes you get ahead of yourself and it becomes disappointing. So
are you saying that when you read the first four issues of a 5-issue mini that you should read the fifth issue?
Yeah, most likely.
Okay, just making sure. I don't have any proof of anybody doing that, but if I did, you know who I'm talking about.
You could say one of 50 books right now, and I don't know which one you're referring to. That was the old Marvin.
This is the new leap year, Marvin. This is leap day, Marvin. One of
50 books that could be.
We'll see if he keeps it up next leap year. You know, 4 years from now, we'll see if he's got this. Leaping for the page.
If you want to find out if I do keep that promise, stay here, stick tuned, same bat channel, same bat time. My name is Marvin.
I'm Alex.
I'm Garrett.
Hey, everyone, enjoy the spring weather and keep turning those pages.